your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Rest make the heaven the middle of it. Rest make the heaven the middle. We are. Rest make the heaven the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler along with my co-host,
Charlotte Littlefield. George.
Charlotte, how are you doing today? You okay?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing real good up here in Missouri. Thank you, George. How are you doing with all the storms down there in Texas?
Oh, my gosh. We're waiting now for that storm to come into the Florida area, and it's on the way.
Irma.
It's close by. And the latest maybe is further to the west, so that might come in on the southwest corner of Florida. But we'll give you all an update, our listening audience, before we sign off this evening.
Anyway. Yeah, they should have been a Megatron death, you know, because it's a terrible storm, Irma. My gosh, our prayers go out to all of our fellow Americans who are facing danger and in harm's way with these natural disasters. We're thinking of you and you're in our prayers.
What happened in Texas, though, was our governor and Trump together opened that thing up, and there were individuals saving. One group saved 700 people. Yeah. You know, yeah, so because they were flooded in the Houston area primarily. Anyway, this evening we have a special 9/11 Truth program. And Monday will be the 16th anniversary of that event. And just to recall, there were planes supposedly that crashed into the North and South Tower and the Pentagon and so forth on that eventful day on September 11th, 2001. Where were you at that day, Charlotte? Tell me, where were you at? What were you doing on that day?
Ironically, I was in my mother's home. I had been staying with her for a few weeks as I waited for some housing to open up for me. And I walked in the living room. I could see it plain as day on her television set, and I saw the towers, and she was in the kitchen, and so I was at my mother's house.
Oh, okay. Well, I was sitting in a restaurant, and they began to, their CNN program was on, and they had a camera aimed at the North Tower. And that's all they had at the time. And they said that a plane had just crashed into the North Tower. And so I sat down there and I watched it for 3 or 4 hours, start to finish, as far as, you know, much we could see at that time. And that was before Building 7 came down later in the afternoon. They announced that later, you know, around 5 o'clock and so forth. But there's so many unanswered questions, aren't there, Charlotte?
Yes, George. And they called for the demise of Building 7 way prematurely. People must have known that it was going to come down with apparent controlled demolition because of the way it collapsed. I mean,
right, there's that BBC broadcasters announcing the come down, the fall of Building 7 as it's coming down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were a little ahead of their script, right?
You know who set the tone for this? That this was a war event rather than a crime scene event would be the Israeli governmental body. They're the ones who hit BBC World first. And I forget the man's name, but he's somebody associated strongly with Israel and Zionism. And he basically said, you know, well, it looks like an act of war, you know, and then from then on it was the drumbeat of war through the news cycle.
Well, now so, there's a new group up there, of attorneys, a 9/11 truth, a group of attorneys that's trying to transform this into a criminal case. Is that right, in New York?
Yes, I don't know the fullness of the group. However, Yes, they've taken it.
What Ed Asner has just recently joined that group. And Ed, Ed Asner has been working behind the scenes with a lot of different groups over the years to try to get to a 9/11 truth resolution here, you know. But it's so involved that I mean we've been at this for how many years now? I mean I saw the event as it unfolded, and I even saw the live crash of into the South Tower by that other plane. I mean, I saw I didn't say the plane hit it, but I saw the fire coming out, behind the North Tower. The North Tower was actually blocking the South Tower's view, see? So I actually saw that fire come out, and we didn't know what it was for a while until they got another camera on the side view. And then we said, oh my gosh, that's the South Tower now that's been crashed into and so forth. So, what it did was, you talk about trauma-based programming, Charlotte. The psychology that Fran Schur is going to speak about our second hour is going to be a rebroadcast of a interview, a very important interview Charlotte Littlefield Brown and I had with Fran Schur. And she's out of Boulder, Colorado. She's a psychologist, and she wrote 20 articles for AETruth.org out in California, which is Architects, Engineers, 911truth.org out in California. And so we have those click offs there for the second hour tonight. And you can go in there and click off and read 20 articles in depth about the psychology of 9/11. And that's so important, isn't it, Charlotte?
Absolutely. People have a real dissonance when it comes to 9/11. People shut down and do avoidance behaviors, and it's a tough conversation piece to bring up, you know.
Right. We also have on our site tonight listed there under on hour one, we have a list of different basic topics that we're covering this evening. And if you go in there and look at those, let me just tick those off, and then Charlotte, we'll just talk a little bit about each and every one of them, and then we'll get into some of the other details about 9/11. But now the first one is the demolition of truth. Psychologists examine 9/11. This is a video put together by the Access Television in Boulder, Colorado. And if you click off on that, you'll go straight to their site, and you'll be able to see their fine video that they did on this subject. And Fran Schur participated in a degree on there. And there was a Chandler that was a man in there, a physicist. Do you remember up in when I was in Toronto and we interviewed that physicist, Charlotte? I had you long distance, and we were tying through GCN network. And anyway, I had a special splitter where I could get on the phone with you and tie everything together in the room. A friend of mine loaned me her room for us to do that interview. But Chandler was one of the guys that appears in this later in this video that we interviewed back in 2011 when I went up to the Toronto 9/11 truth. But also, we have in there the top 40 reasons to doubt the official story of September 11, 2001. And you go through there, it's a fine collection of fine points, arguing points and so forth, and data points. The next click off here is David Ray Griffin. He's a theologian from the West Coast, Presbyterian based, and he's written about 11 books on 9/11, okay? And he takes the whole topic apart and puts it back together again. So he's probably the greatest author in this area of trying to get to the truth here. And then the next click off is Last Man Out on 9/11. Remember William Rodriguez, Charlotte?
Oh, yeah, distinctly, yes. I remember his testimony. It was life-changing for me.
Right. He was there,
and he reported contrary to what, come out. So it was,
in fact, they did not put his testimony in the 9/11 commission report. He testifies that in the morning, shortly before the first plane hit the North Tower, there were explosions in the basement where he was. And they had to recover there and pull people into safety, and he saved several people from those explosions. And then that was maybe, he said the explosions in the basements occurred about 9 to 10 seconds before the North Tower plane hit him. So his whole, he ran out when the building was coming down. He ran out and ran, threw himself under a fire truck. A policeman across the street saw that scene and remembered it and sent a team in and pulled him out, dug him out later. And he wasn't, he was shook up and scratched and all that, but he wasn't materially injured. So William Rodriguez made it out okay. Now, the next click off is Abel Danger. And Anthony Schaefer was part of a special Army intelligence operation that started identifying terrorists in the late 1900s, 1990s, excuse me. And they turned much of this information over to two other intelligence groups. It didn't ever go anywhere, you know, and it's just called a big hullabaloo afterwards, you know. Then 9/11 in plain sight was a video documentary produced by Joyce Riley, who's passed away now, and her husband at the time, Dave Von Kleist. And it was about the Pentagon. Primarily it focused in on the Pentagon and where were the plane parts. And then I put a video up after that of Alex Jones. Alex has been, he's sort of the founder of the 9/11 truth movement. And he's done the most. He went up to New York with the first responders, both police and firemen, and he did quite a job over the years. We interviewed one of the labor leaders up there, Charlotte, one year, remember?
Yeah, I do, George.
And so we've done a little bit of our own over the years, too. But anyway, there's a video there that you can click off on our site. So come into thesecrettruth.com and enjoy those click-offs and get a little bit of the truth here. Right now, Charlotte, where do you think we are on 9/11 truth?
That's a very loaded question.
Yeah.
It depends on how you think it went down. I happen to believe Israel was involved up to their neck, and I don't want to get into that entirely because that'll drop a lot of people off the map. And it triggers their cognitive dissonance and it's a buzzword, you know, Israel. Well, Israel, I believe, is up to their eyeballs in 9/11. And I believe Saudi Arabia split that. I think there's some sovereign wealth funds, some shady players. I don't have the names, but I'm a big fan of author Christopher Bolan. If you can check him out, folks, Christopher Bolan, B-O-L-L-Y-N-N. I kind of follow his thinking on how it all rolled down. Well, then you look at Trump today, his son and his daughter, the whole Jewish connection. No problem with the Jewish. I have no problem with the Jewish connection. What I have a problem with is a Zionist, police state, because Israel's not like the United States. They don't have a constitution. They don't have a Declaration of Independence. You know, they're not a democracy in the way that we're a democracy. You know, it's just, they are not our friends, and they are complicit in 9/11, and anything that goes wrong for the foreseeable future, I would look strongly at Israel.
Okay. Okie dokie.
Okay,
I'm going to go back to this list of 40 different items here. Let's just start talking about them very quickly, and I want to hear what you have to say. The AWOL chain of command, it was jumbled that day. And weren't there all kinds of different exercises going on, Charlotte?
Okay, to my understanding, yeah, we had multiple military exercises going on nationwide, statewide, citywide type of thing, where different people were doing different things. I don't have the lowdown on that, George, but what I can say is that in these crucial moments, sometimes the whole thing turned into a scenario for war rather than viewing it as a crime scene, as the state and the local government, city, all these local entities that should have been investigating were just immediately sidelined and minimalized, you know, decades of science, and there was no fire investigation. There was no, okay, so not to get too far off point, the chain of command, you know, supposedly, you know, who was actually in charge, according to the 9/11 commission. You know, I wasn't there, George.
No, the chain of command wasn't there. There were air defense failures, which should have never been. The Pentagon crash was highly suspect because where are the planes, you know, parts?
It's a strike, yeah. No, I know a torpedoman from my Navy days, and she's like, oh, that was definitely not a plane. That was a, she felt it was some sort of tomahawk or some sort of missile.
Right, right. That's what everyone, and then that Shanksville crash, they showed us a little pit out of there with some steam coming up out of it. You know what I mean, smoke? And they said this is where the plane on Shanksville Flight 93.
It was like a bad B movie, the way it unraveled.
It was. And then, you know, Silverstein later on in the day agrees with the fire commandant to pull the Building 7, and it folds in just like a demolition, you know, planned demolition.
Right. Which was high headquarters for many alphabet soup agencies. I believe it was where Enron or some sort of very important financial commissions had it. CIA was out of there.
Right.
All the government agencies. There's 1,700 government agencies, but the main ones that actually the money flows through.
Right. So, and that was across the street from the main site. Building 7, World Trade Center 7, was wedged in there between two other buildings that were not affected, you know, that afternoon.
But, was not hit by a plane.
All right. The architects and engineers early on came up with, and you interviewed, I think, Stephen Jones and Richard Gage at the university one day, didn't you? I believe you did. But
Yes.
And you had, had two cell phones, and you gave a cell phone to each one of them, and you were on the third cell phone. Remember that?
I certainly do. That was then a professor.
Yeah, and we tied all of the, you know, our engineer tied all four of us together online live from the university. And I was in my office studio there, and you were actually on the ground in the outside, right outside in the lobby of the auditorium that I think Harlan and all them, a brave new book, put that together way back. You know, they brought Richard Gage in and Stephen Jones. So we interviewed them way, way back. And, of course, we were up in New York with Richard Gage up there. He left his computer on our desk, remember? But we got it back to him.
Yeah.
And y'all put up that third beam too, right?
Yeah, that was something. Well, not me, but them. Yeah, while we were there. And I got to see it with my naked eye. And yeah, three towers fell that day, and that's why we needed three beams of light. And you know, and there's just so much more to the 9/11 story than can be hashed out here and in our interview. What I would like to speak about is the fact that the lawyers and architects and engineers and firefighters and police and really guilds, if you will. Is that they're coming forward and they're saying, let's put this on trial. Let's look at the evidence that was retained. Not everything went to China to be recycled rapidly. There was a few pieces here and there for monuments or different things that could be tested potentially. Or I don't know where they're getting their physical evidence, but I don't hear it all. I'd love to see this put for the American people in a court of law setting and let it be played out in the court of public opinion.
Now, Jim Fetcher's come up with a recent book about his theory on it, is that where there were micro nukes, and he ties Israel directly and the Mossad directly into the event.
So that's
where he's coming from. Now we've interviewed Judy Wood for 2 hours, you remember, a while back?
Oh, certainly I do, yeah. She's energy beam.
I sort of favor something along her line, you know, of thinking. You know what I mean? You know, here lately on this threatening North Korea crisis, there were assertions made from our government by key leaders that we have weapons that could take them out. You see what I mean? And seemed to indicate some types of weapons that maybe were could have been used on 9/11. I don't know. See. But the highest test
they
that we
they pulled out all stops for 9/11.
Yes, they did. I think they used the highest technology and the greatest weapons that we had. I think they used on 9/11 because they had.
I feel like that group, whoever these people are going to turn out to be,
right.
History will judge it. They took our own fist and they punched us in the face with it.
Yes, yes.
Let's get back to those military war games. Let me just read this one sentence. It's very telling.
Yeah.
The multiple military war games planned long in advance and held on the morning of September 11th included scenarios of a domestic air crisis, a plane crashing into a government building, and a large-scale bioterrorism emergency in New York. If this was only an incredible series of coincidences, why did the official investigation avoid the issue? And where did the planes go? There is evidence that the war games created confusion as to whether the unfolding events were real world or exercise. Did the war games serve as cover for air defense, sabotage, and or execution of a, quote, inside job? I think so. I think somebody knows how our military was set up. We have $1 trillion military.
Right.
Defense, I mean, just to think that somebody on the inside knows how it all functions and how it operates, and then they got in there and they... Because I can't believe the air response. Nothing brings the standard operating procedures on that day when it comes to air response.
Right, and these planes didn't show up when they were supposed to, and Cheney's down there in the operations above the White House saying, go ahead and don't shoot that plane coming in and let it come in. And it's the one that went into the supposedly the White House, But I mean, you get so much, obfuscation of the truth in a lot of ways, don't you?
Yeah, and then those people that should have been taking command positions over this country at that critical time, they weren't there. Like the opening article here at 911truth.org, I'm referencing, Bush. He didn't take the helm. Who the hell ended up being in charge? Well, Dick Cheney. And that guy, I mean...
You talk about an ultimate insider, that's who probably pulled this thing off, see? That's what happened. It was only known to just a few insiders that could manipulate the air defense system or create chaos in it. See what I mean? The auspice that these exercises were normal exercises, and then they had people mixed up. Real people operating real consoles were mixed up as to whether or not this was a real exercise or something that went hot. See what I mean? And so they were hesitant in following through. And then they were given orders to stand down and so forth and so on. And Cheney was dictating everything. And so it got to be successful from the insider's viewpoint, what I say.
Yeah, what was the general's name? Clark, Wesley Clark. General Wesley Clark at around that time went on a visitation to the Pentagon with his old employer.
Right.
And he went to... And he got whiff of a plan of memos that went through the Department of Defense across Rumsfeld's desk. And basically said, there would be 5 countries attacked in a short, 7 countries in 5 years.
Right.
And it played out.
And this fits into the 9/11 attack, see?
They're tied together. The American people, see, they think... I don't know what they think. Maybe they don't think, George. Our hands, we have a representative republic. I can only hope that the people about 9/11, the wisdom about 9/11, it only spreads. It's exponential. People have woken up. I mean, I meet people every day that talk about 9/11 being a turning point in their view of their country and of themselves.
Right. Well, that's very, very true. They started locking down the country, and converting the country into a national security state after 9/11.
Yeah, now we have like a police state.
That's,
you know?
That's what we have with all this surveillance stuff. And then they're briefing our congressional members and stating that the domestic terrorists are the enemy. You know, the people that are trying to uncover all of this corruption at the highest levels, we have become the enemy, see? And then they call us alt-right or something like that. See what I mean? Hillary comes in
anything
there. See,
anything,
you know, to obfuscate the real essence of the truth. See, they're using all kinds of false lies and false news and everything, fake news and everything else. So the propaganda is at a high, at all-time high, you know?
Right.
So what?
And then you have it followed on by great hacks. Since 9/11, we've had the World Bank hack. We've had the Office of Personnel Management for the U.S. Department of Defense hack. We had Snowden phenomena. We had the WikiLeaks phenomena. I mean, there's so much has happened. I just don't know where the 9/11 truth movement is. Let me put that question back on you. That was a tough one.
The psychology that we're talking about this evening is the most important aspect of this, I believe, now. And the public, we're trying to get the public to understand why they are in denial of 9/11 truth still. And also, what's happened is that because they've sold the people, a portion of the public initially, that this was a legitimate attack from outside the country, then all of the people that died over there in Afghanistan and Iraq and so forth, the people that lost their sons and daughters over there are have bought into the story, see, the government line. So they're into denial at a real deep level, and they don't want to admit that maybe the government did this, see. So there's this...
Well, elements within the government. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this was a deep operation. 9/11 was carried out, and there were people like David Edger that was head of the desk for CIA in Berlin before Mohammed Atta was brought into this country. And so I believe it from the word go that it was totally an inside operation. And the Saudis were brought in as scapegoats, seeing what I mean. And some of those guys today are legitimate. Working out here in the industry today, the people they had up on in the newspapers, hell, they're legitimate citizens out here today. So it was all a put-up job. See, it's sort of like when Lee Harvey Oswald was blamed for the JFK assassination. Instantly, his name got spread all over the world. See, okay, as the culprit, as the shooter, as the sniper. See. And then when we went up there to Dallas and we went up there on the sixth floor and saw the sniper's nest, right? And the propaganda is, my gosh, it's big. It's powerful, see? And people just accept it blindly sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, well, you know, when we're not there, when you're not physically there, when things happen, you know, it's rough to get proper information. We had a failure in journalism in my lifetime, George. When I was a kid, we seemed to have better journalism, or at least there was mudracking, and it was just a different world.
Well, we had the consolidation occur, where they started allowing people to buy up radio programs and stations, and television stations, and consolidate their media holdings. Now we're down to about five or six conglomerates that control a lot of that. And the CIA with Mockingbird, Operation Mockingbird back in the 50s under Alan Dulles, they started dominating some of the key journalists and had them under their control way back. And that's gotten worse, see? Way worse. So the people are not working for the people anymore when they write as journalists. They're actually working for the government or some agency, see? They don't know who their masters are, Charlotte. They don't know who their masters are, see? See what I mean?
Well,
they get a salary, and they think they write a little bit of truth here and there, but they don't come through with 9/11 at the end. See that Pacifica?
Yeah, that reminds me.
Yeah, that Pacifica.
That reminds me.
Yeah, that.
We did have a good journalist on it, and that would have been Jim Mars. We lost him this year. Congress as a whole.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Now, those people you can believe and trust with what they said. So, yeah, you can trust Jim Morris and those people. But he's gone now. But there was another man, Todd Fletcher, that did the editing of the David Ray Griffin books, about 9 of them.
Oh, yeah.
And we had him on also. And he was affiliated with, he produced some of the Guns and Butter radio out there, Pacifica Radio in San Francisco. Now, he's a good guy. I mean, he's sort of on the left side, but the truthful left. You know what I mean? And
sure.
He was a stand-up fella. He and his wife passed away a while back, a few years ago. But in his research and editing of David Ray Griffin's book, he had a plethora of information as a reservoir that was endless about 9/11. See, and so we interviewed him several times, and also he knew about Gladio and a lot of other things. You know what I mean? Now Bin Laden was a bad guy, wasn't he? They painted him into a. You know, a figure of an insane evil person, right? And we think that he died early on in maybe 2002 or 3 from kidney problems, but they kept bringing him up and they put those fake videos up. You see those fake videos, Charlie?
I remember.
You know, they put somebody up that looked like similar to him and then said that was Bin Laden. You know. What a joke some of that stuff was.
And then the connections between the Bushes and the Bin Ladens, a lot of people would be surprised to know.
Well, they flew a bunch of Saudis out of New York, out of the country, right there days after 9/11.
During no-fly.
Yeah.
They were saying there was a plane in the air when there was no fly nationwide.
Right.
They were still flying out.
So this 9/11 has poisoned the American mind, see, and it's crippled and it's traumatized and poisoned the American mind. But the premise that they established, the American public is not off of that yet, see. They're trying to find ways to overcome this mind boggle, see. There's all this information about 9/11 truth out there that they can't ignore totally, but then they don't want to give up on the idea that it was an outside attack, and the government version is pretty well right, you know. But they don't want to give up on the government side and try to understand that there are elements in our government that would have done things like this. Not the government as a whole, but elements within our government that could do this.
Tragic.
So
this is 2017, and this is the United States of America, and we're still breathing, so we can do something about it.
Yeah, right. We're still talking on the air. We're not off the air totally yet, so we can get the word out to a degree. What?
What year did we go to New York? What anniversary?
2010.
It was 2009.
Yeah, it's 2010. And boy, you were a little beaver. You went up and down those steps. And I think Luke Rakowski was one of the producers of that, along with Lenny and INN Network. Remember?
I do.
And they broke promises to us about giving us feed from their cameras. So we had to set up our cameras and feed our own network at the time. And then he told me not to record it, so I didn't record it. Okay. That was an agreement. Then he comes back later to me and asks me for a recording because they had bad audio or something. See what I mean?
Right.
So I met our obligation and contractual agreements, but he didn't come through properly. See, now Luke Rakowski's a good guy. He's not what I'm talking about. This Lenny fellow that headed up INN is a fellow that did not. Made promises that he did not meet his promises and obligations on what we were doing.
We met a lot of people.
What's that?
We met a lot of people from that.
Yeah.
Was that a conference?
Yeah, you know, yeah, there were a lot of people. Remember the old black comedian? Remember him?
Yeah.
He was there. What's his name? I'm trying to remember. He just passed away recently. But there are people out there, you know, and Ed Asner from Hollywood has come on board on the 9/11. But and Alex went up there for years. He got thrown in jail one time. Remember? You interviewed him, remember?
Yeah, actually, I do remember.
And they had me shut out of the conversation. Now, wasn't that something, huh? Our engineer up there messed up, and they couldn't hear. Y'all couldn't hear me, and I could hear y'all, but y'all couldn't hear me. He had me shut out of the conversation. Yeah, he had me, you know, muted. My input. But anyway, but you got to interview Alex one year. What year was that? Do you remember?
Oh, no, I don't remember.
2008, maybe? 9, something like that?
Before 2009,
Yeah, something like that. And he had been arrested because Geraldo Rivera turned him into the police. Alex to the police. Alex was going over there with his group. 9/11 Truth. And it was... Ronald Rivera was interviewing this girl that had this low-cut dress that was kicked off of an airline flight.
Yeah, she flipped Alex off, I remember.
And then he lodged a complaint.
Did he?
Yeah, with the police, and they took Alex to jail. And then Richard Reeves was followed Alex back over there and got him out. So,
oh my.
I mean, those were the days, weren't they? But anyway.
Way before 2009.
I remember us going up to New York. You know, around the time that 2007, wasn't it? I think it was. It was a Ron Paul event on the Independence Mall. Okay.
Yeah, that time we went to New York. Did we go twice?
Yes, we did. Yeah, we went up there once. Yeah. Because of the Ron Paul, you know, event there on the Independence Mall. And then we went back again for the 9/11 event in 2010.
I remember.
But anyway,
yeah, those were a lot of stairs and a lot of hiking. I remember that.
Anyway, for our listening audience tonight, go in, come in to thesecrettruth.com, utilize those click-offs that we have up on our site, and then also listen to our second hour with Fran Schurer. Fran Schurer is a fine psychologist, and she wrote 20 articles that first appeared and published by A&E, 9/11 Truth, out of San Francisco, Richard Gage. And then of course, we're linking into them this evening for your benefit to see. There were all kinds of speculation on 9/11 through the markets. I think the airlines were shorted. Puts were bought on that and on the market in general. And people made all kinds of millions, if not billions of dollars on that. The 9/11 commission that they put together left out so much. Left out William Rodriguez's testimony. And it's a total, you know, not a lie, but a total incomplete thing. But, anyway, the NIST omissions, National Institute of Standards and Technology, Gurley, an attorney by the name of Gurley out of Dallas, put together the 9/11 Truth in Toronto. And anyway, he got a bunch of information from them through Freedom of Information requests and so forth. Yeah, there's one there where the two firemen had just come out of the building and testify to explosions on the ground floor in the lobby and in the basement. Okay? And there are two firemen there that are bunged. One of them was bunged up. His face is messed up a little bit because of the explosions. Material got to him. So, they took that and put it in that video out in Boulder, Colorado. Some of that footage. So here we have a Gurley, stand-up attorney in Dallas that financed the 9/11 Truth Conference in Toronto, going in and getting information that other people can use and distribute. That's why. And remember Laura Manville?
The name rings a bell.
She's out of Canada. She wrote some. I haven't put it up her PDF, but I will put it up later this evening, right after we get off the air. But she wrote some fine she was like a neuro scientist, okay? And she knew a lot about the mind, psychology, and so forth. And she wrote some towers or something, were two PDF files originally. And then she distilled those down into what is happening after 9/11, our democracy, what's happening in this country. And it's just a really fine PDF file. That we'll have that up for you. I did not put that up yet tonight. But this 9/11, people ask me all the time, why would they do something like that? Well, I think they're trying to put us into a new world order, and they want to bring this country down. That's why they're really after Trump. Trump is for expanding our business again, and this new world order bunch, the elitist at the top, want to integrate us into a, and as a junior partner, you could say, into a much larger world government, so forth. And I think that's one of the reasons why this happens. How about, what do you think, Charlotte?
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I mean, you watch the UN and Agenda 21 and where they want people living, you know, the all of it. You know, one of the things that's left out in this, George, is the Federal Reserve Act expiring in 2013, and nobody even talks about it. But that facilitates their plans, if you ask me, because the currency being stable or unstable, they work it in their benefit, however they want it to go.
Yeah, the money, the Federal Reserve being privately owned still, we think, well, we know, is a controlling mechanism for continuing to finance this country and other banks and international, financial resources throughout the world. And they've done that over the years. Now you remember Rumsfeld made a statement a day before 9/11. And he announced that a war on waste after an internal audit in the Pentagon found the Pentagon was missing $2.3 trillion in unaccounted assets. My gosh. Then everybody forgot about that after 9/11, didn't they? Huh?
Yeah, Cynthia McKinney brought that up, didn't she? Representative Cynthia McKinney out of Louisiana, was it?
Well, she and could have.
She did. And she also was a presidential candidate around that time. She's a good 9/11
super. Well, they finally defeated her illegally, probably in Georgia, knocked her out of her U.S. representative.
Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia, U.S. Seat from Georgia, yeah. A U.S. Representative seat from Georgia, her, and finally ran someone in there and juggled the cooked the books on her, probably.
Let's not forget the two things, George. Let's not forget the Patriot Act that occurred so rapidly, that was written before 9/11.
Yeah.
And was just terrible. You know, it was the unpatriotic Patriot Act. You know,
these things are named the opposite of what they are, aren't they? Huh?
Yeah, and then Homeland Security, that I don't like that word. Shadow government, you know.
Yeah.
But these things were all before 9/11, you know. But it was an attack on the Constitution. Now we got no privacy rights, you know. I mean, things are pretty rough right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, some describe this as a Pearl Harbor effect, right? That 9/11 became a Pearl Harbor effect because they were able to take the public at large and then lead them where they wanted to. I think that's very true, you know. But the Pearl Harbor, there was there in that instance, Japan did, you know, attack us at Pearl Harbor. This thing was inside job. Oh, you know what William Rodriguez says in his book and his writings and so forth? He says that when he was, the men coming in there from a security company in white overalls, he was at a lower floor one day and he was listening up the floor right up above him that was vacant. And it was as if someone was rolling some kind of a heavy, you know what I mean, item across the floor on some kind of a roller device. But he could tell it was very, very heavy. You know what I mean? And he said that was very mysterious. And this occurred, this security group had access to the towers several weeks before the 9/11 event. Now the two people out there that are the most viable, I think, is Judy Wood, and then Jim Fetzer is talking about mini nukes. Okay, so as far as you know, in the video, you'll see solid beams coming down, falling down outside the perimeter of the building, and then you'll see them turn to dust. That would pretty well support what Judy Wood was saying about the ability to transmute solid objects into dust, okay? So that's where she's coming from. Now, Jim Fetzer is saying that the there is a nuclear device is used, okay, on it, micro, you know, nukes. And that's what he's saying. So, but, I mean, that wouldn't explain seeing this solid bar coming down through the air and turning to dust either. See what I'm trying to say here, Charlotte? I don't think that Fetzer's totally right on top of it. And I think what Judy Wood is speculating, because of, she's dealing with really advanced top secret weapon systems that probably were used to do the 9/11, you know, destruction. So that's basically what I'm seeing in my own mind to, give everyone, a legitimate,
Came blatant right after 9/11. I thought it was even more blatant.
What's that?
Is weather modification.
Yeah.
It became, you know, the chemtrails, you know, seeing those, or airplane pollution, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You know, make those hazy days, you know, for days on end, that it's like they're blocking the sun.
Yeah. Well, right now, we've got sun activity that is coming back. The sunspot activity, which has been dormant for a number of years, is all of a sudden picking up. And so we do have a lot of activity on the sun. And this weather crowd out here, the global warming to start with and all that, they are ignoring totally the sun's influence. And some of the top physicist friends of mine are saying that the sun has an influence of about 40% on the world's weather, see. And so you just, 40% of one factor is a big factor, see. And you can't ignore that totally. The sun and its activities and its variances. And then, Spencer, our meteorologist from Alabama, you remember?
I do.
He's coming on the weather thing from an angle of cloud cover, see, and so that's where his view is. El Nino with an oscillation in the Pacific creates more cloud cover or lessens cloud cover, and then that in turn either you have a heat absorption from the sun or more reflection from the sunlight, and so that's a big factor as far as heating and cooling the earth from the sun. See, then you've got this astro jet dynamics that, remember, Fred Bell talked about.
Not entirely.
Well, anyway, I know we're getting off the point here a little bit, but anyway, he's talking the geophysics of the earth are not that simple, and just. We as humans going out here and putting around cause an effect, but not a material effect. And that's what remember Donald Gibson out of New York? He wrote a book stated that the environmentalism was created as a political tool to control us, see. Now, what this 9/11 is turning out to be is a political dominance tool being used to remind people that we were attacked and we've got to go after this terrorist and we've got to stage these wars in Afghanistan and spend billions of dollars into the trillions to go after these people because they attacked us on 9/11. And even in President Trump's speech recently about Afghanistan, he brought up the fact that this is where, in the location that was launched, they launched the 9/11 attack from, meaning Afghanistan.
Which is not true.
So everybody's playing the public for a bunch of dunces and fools. That's the problem with 9/11. is that many of these people that have been played for fools lost their sons and daughters over there in those countries. They're locked in. See, they're not going to come to the truth, 9/11 truth. It's too hurtful. See? And the people want to believe in their leadership, and they're not willing to try to imagine or comprehend or come to the realization, I should say, of how evil some of our leadership has become. And that's the game that they're playing, is so evil that the American public just can't imagine that they would ever do such a thing as pull off a 9/11 insider, you know, operation. So we've got that mind boggle out there. That's why I think Franchure and you and I talking about the psychology and then pointing towards this video out in Boulder, Colorado that they did there at the Access Television. I think these are the important things now for the public to begin to be educated in about why they can't get to 9/11 truth. See what I mean?
Yeah. I do.
And there's so many reasons, see, that people don't want to go there, you know. And if you'll go,
I'd like to focus on. I know you don't like to talk about religion per se, you know, but dispensationalists or people that believe Israel is somehow ordained by the Bible.
Yeah.
Those people are the furthest gone. They've stopped thinking. They don't know their history. They certainly don't know their religious history. And. And they're disheartening to me because they just shut down. They can't fathom Israel being anything but.
Well, look at all the world's religions, and you're going to find them being corralled into similar mindsets and worldviews that limit them. See what I mean?
Very limited. That's right. Yeah. They're limited to the point that they suffer cognitive.
They limit those groups so that they can manage them through those limitations. See what I mean?
And they manage them all right because and that's right. They manage them through that. You know, that's right.
Yeah. So it's not just one religion. It's all the religions. I've called myself a simple-minded Christian because I like to talk about forgiveness, which was a key teaching of Jesus. So that's really where I'm coming from. See what I mean? And I think you can come out of a lot of our personal problems by beginning to forgive yourself and others. See? And I think that's a beautiful teaching to pass on to others. You know what I mean? It's sort of like a gift.
Yeah.
See what I mean? But this 9/11 thing has traumatized. You remember when we had Colin Ross on air one night from Dallas? And I asked him a question about whether he thought that 9/11 acted in a trauma-based type programming way, you know, on the public at large. And he thought for a second and said, yes, I agree with you on that. So here we have one of the top doctors, MDs, psychiatrists in the world that has focused in on and specialized in dissociative identity disorder, is stating that, yes, he thinks that 9/11 was trauma-based programming at the highest level. Now, Colin Ross, in addition, has written a book called The CIA Doctors, say. So he's no dunce. He's very sharp and a very, very brilliant person. So he brings to the discussion. I don't have him up there on the list here, but bringing him in on the discussion tonight brings in a world authority that knows how this mind wash and this propaganda system works. And it's like a field system, see? And we're in a field system, electromagnetic radiation. And in this field system, within the light, things can be transmitted to us through streams of light and sound and so forth because of the air. And then we become overwhelmed by all this programming that we begin to believe. But the programming is not quite the total truth. We're programmed with maybe 80 or 90% of things that are pretty accurate, but there's about 10 or 15% left out or, you know, flexed to be controlling, you know, and that's what the leadership does. The elitists inundate us with information, but it's not quite the total truth. Some of it is purposely, intentionally withheld or ignored or changed slightly to induce a delusion, which continues the false self state.
That's interesting, George.
So that's sort of the way I see it tonight. We've got about 3 minutes left tonight, Charlotte. Do you have any closing statements you'd like our listeners?
I want to talk about our country. I want to wish everybody well that's struggling with the fires. I want to wish everybody well that's struggling with the hurricanes and the excessive flooding and people with health problems. And just want to say, you know, God bless America, God bless you, and hope that we can all come together and get through these.
Man, I'll tell you, it looks like the Irma track shifts. It looks like it's going to come up the west coast. Florida is the latest. It looks like that the Miami and Fort Lauderdale and Palm Beach are nearly out of the cone zone. So it looks like it's the final track is going to be primarily up the west coast of Florida, starting at the southwest corner there. Okay, so that seems to be the latest. And the Everglades happen to be in that area there, on that tip area, in that southwest tip of Florida, where the Everglades are. So maybe it, as it approaches, Florida and begin to be come on land, so to speak, well, maybe it'll start dissipating, but some of that over the Everglades. Let's just hope and pray that that is the case, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be rough, that's for sure. Anyway, cut it. That's a massive storm.
And but they're doing all.
They should have called it, George. Yeah. They should have called it Megatron Death 2017.
Yeah. What, Megatron Death 2017? Yeah.
It's a storm. Irma is so soft. You know, well, it's Irma. Irma's such a nice name, you know, but this is a monster.
Well, someone
storm.
Said that that's sexism when we start naming these hurricanes for men and women. Yeah, someone attacked somebody. You know how they'll use anything these days. They don't even make sense, you know what I mean? But it's all sexism,
right.
and you know, we all did it wrong or something, whatever. The Charlottesville, just for a little closing information, the Charlottesville, Virginia, event is beginning to be an inside job. It's the government all the way. There were people taking the first camera shots that were tied into the CIA through foreign embassies and so forth. So it looks like the Charlottesville, that attack by that car, you know, it looks like that
right.
It was all a put up job. It was rehearsed part of it. There were possibly people that did get hurt or even killed. We don't know absolutely about that. But the Charlottesville thing, it looked like they were controlling the left and the right. The right they used to say some virulent anti-Semitic type statements, and then David Duke comes in there and ties that group together with Trump thanking Trump. See what I mean? Boy, that didn't help Trump any. See what I'm saying? Then on the right, we had Antifa coming in there that was financed by Soros money and other money, and then we had all these videos being put up by CIA agents about the crash into the crowd. That was all a staged event. So we have two separate drivers, one in the car that looks different than the one arrested. I mean, it's just a total, debacle of government interference. And so we're on to this. I don't know how much the public, though, is going to follow on some of these deals. But anyway, I want to thank you for being with us tonight, our listening audience. And Charlotte, I want to thank you for your time spent on this 9/11. Boy, it's an important subject, isn't it?
Yes, it is, George. We devoted hours, if not months and years, of our lives to this topic, and we hope our listening audience will get educated if you're not.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, thank you very much, and thank you. Good night. Good night, Charlotte. Bye-bye.
Good night, George.
Bye-bye.